AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
And we are live. SB Talk Sports Show, where real takes over fake debates. We got another great episode in pack for you guys. Sean, how are you doing today, Sean?
Doing good, SB. How you doing?
Can't complain. Doing pretty good. Solid. You know, we had a nice little day of sports. Some awards was handed out. So, Sean, you know, we had the show. We had True on. Shout out True, by the way. True was on. We gave our Heisman prediction. I think you ruffled a little bit of feathers with a lot of people. The clip is on social media sites. Look up Real Takes Over Fake Debates anywhere, or look up on SB Talk Sports, or look up on Sean S. MW34. Make sure you give us a follow. And, you know, same thing here. Make sure you subscribe. So, Sean, I want to play the clip first because you made your prediction on who you thought would win the Heisman, which we're going to get into, talk about after this, who won the Heisman. But let's get into the clip first. Your Heisman prediction, imagine it went viral on IG. It went viral on TikTok too. And a lot of people had some things to say about it. But let's go ahead and play the clip first. And then I want to hear your reaction to it. Hold on, wait, I got to get the sound. Give me one second.
They would give out two Heismans because.
Hold on, I want to start it over because you said something clear in the beginning that people skipped over, but I want to make sure everybody hear that first part.
Said, this is a very, very, this is a year where you wish they would give out two Heismans because both are very, very deserving of the Heisman Trophy, what they did this season. You cannot take away what they did this season. But I would say, in all honesty, that Ashton Gentry would be the choice for me. When you just look at, again, not just what he did this season in terms statistically, historically, probably the second greatest running back season in the history of college football, as True mentioned, after Barry Sanders. But it wasn't necessarily playing with the greatest talent around him at Boise State. He will never say that because that's not who he is. But you take him off that team, we're not even talking about Boise State. I mean, just let's just be very honest. And they are also in the college football playoff because he was that good carrying them. Here's the other caveat. He would have actually more than likely broken Barry Sanders' rushing record this season, all the season rushing record. But he basically didn't play in two games because he got pulled out of 8 quarters because they were up so much. Yeah. So the numbers would have dwarfed. I mean, just would absolutely dwarf. And then also I saw another interesting stat that if you take away his longest run in every single game, he still averages over 5 yards a carry. Yeah. So people get enamored with that. I said, this is a very, very.
Imagine the point, the two things that being said in his clip that was very should have been acknowledged. The first thing that you said in this clip was both players are well deserved. This should be the year they get two Heisman. And then two, with Sean going crazy, you gave facts and stats of why you felt this way. But I want to let you see some of these. You got Ashton Jeanty is trash. This is another Reggie Bush getting the Heisman instead of Vince Young situation. Why give the Heisman before all the games I play? Vince Young deserved the Heisman. Which, why is we bringing up Vince Young? Vince Young don't have nothing to do with this situation. People say this is one of the weakest Heismans. Whatever. And then hold on, wait, I know you can't see the TikTok comments, but I'm gonna go to the TikTok. I know you didn't get the chance to see the TikTok ones. I know you ain't got TikTok. I hate you on TikTok, man. By the way, okay. Popularity contest at its finest. What a joke. Deion is the reason he won. Don't think Hunter is deserving of this. You can name 10 running backs with 2,000 yards in a season. No one has done what Travis Hunter done. Somebody said, Sean, give his line credit. I'm literally going right through it. At least one dude gave you credit and said, damn, that's some stats. So there you go. But Sean seen and heard and see reaction to it. And it was other comments, but we got to go through every single comment that was said. What is your reaction? And Sean wanted to reintroduce y'all to what Real Takes Over Fake Debate is if y'all forgot what it is. But go ahead, Sean. The
floor is SB, let me say first and foremost, I want to thank everyone for taking a moment to listen to what it is we had to say about anything and what we have to say about anything, right? We are nothing without people taking time out of their day, out of their schedule to watch and listen to us. And we will never, ever on any level disregard that. When SB and I talked over 2 years ago about doing this, the thing we talked about was not being like every other platform out here and every other thing that you can listen to out here. We were not going to do some of the stuff that other platforms do because that's not how we necessarily want it to this to be. And we're over 120 plus episodes in, and we have largely tried to stick and remain true to that. But let me be very, very honest here for a moment. We do this with no ulterior motive, right? We do this without anyone. There's no one in our ear telling us what to say. There's no one standing behind the camera asking us or making us do certain things. This is myself and SB doing this every week, twice a week for the last year plus. Over a year now. And we do this out of a love, but we do this also out of a responsibility to try to give people who are listening something that they may not hear anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. When people hear screaming and yelling.
If you want fabricated debates, mm-hmm. Every morning on ESPN at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, there's a show that comes on. You're more than welcome to watch the fabricated debates. That's not what we do here.
I ain't got time for that.
That's not what we do. That's not what we're going to do. We will never be about that. We will never be the platform that does the shock value stuff. That's not what we're about. Credibility. That's what we're about. If we say something, it's because we've generally researched it. We've come to a certain conclusion. And coming to that conclusion, we're not necessarily trying to make people agree with us. We're just trying to give perspective. That's it. Take from it what you will. But here's the other part. If you take time to listen to us, again, we appreciate that. We love that.
Thank you, by the way. Thank y'all, by the way.
We definitely appreciate that. But I want to encourage those who listen to us, or who may be listening to us for the first time, to try something that a lot of folks don't necessarily do anymore. Listen to understand. I don't have to agree with SB on everything.
We ain't.
Yeah. SB does not have to agree with me on everything, but when he talks, I listen to understand his point. I listen to understand where he's coming from. I generally know when SB has a place, is coming from a specific place, it's because he's done the requisite research to come to a certain conclusion. I understand that. I listen to understand. I respond in kind once I understand where he comes from. I am not listening to respond specifically, because if I'm doing that, that means I'm not giving him the full due of trying to understand where he's coming from. That's what real takes over fake debates is about for me and to me. And to and for us, I believe our responsibility to our audience is to provide that as much as possible. Yes, we have moments of levity. Yes, we have moments where we get very serious. Yes, we have moments where we don't agree, but you will never see us being disagreeable. You'll never see us calling each other out of our names. You'll never see us get demonstrative to the point where you, the listener or the watcher, if you're watching us on YouTube or any other platform, can't understand what we're saying. That's not how we roll. Right? So again, I appreciate those who take the time to listen to us, those who watch the clips.
Thanks again.
And to my last point, clips are great. They give you a small, small peek into the window of what this is. Right? A 30-second clip will never tell you what an hour or an hour and a half long podcast is in its full entirety, right? Because again, there's a lot that comes with this, and we believe in giving you the best from each of us, right? We don't just get on here and fire up the camera and fire up the laptops and and plug in the mics and say, hey, let's just say we're just gonna wing it today. We don't do that at all. Mm-hmm. And we never will.
We didn't cast some stories before because you're like, no, we ain't did enough research on it yet. Even if it's on pop up, we just like, we just talk about it next time.
Exactly. So that's how we roll. Credibility. That's what we're about over here. And I'm not, and that's not to put down any other podcast or any other folks out here doing their thing. Not at all. I'm just telling you what we're about on Real Takes Over Fake Debates. All right.
Change.
And that's it for me, SB. But I want to turn it over to you if you have anything on that.
Oh, yeah, no. Like it started from the idea of Real Takes Over Fake Debates. That's why I kept it the same way. It's like, you got to have a real take. We ain't doing fake debates. I'm not arguing with you just to argue. And it started from those type of platforms where everybody on there just arguing, just saying nonsense. Don't make it make sense. You know, you can get it from like any type of debate, especially when it comes to like the dude behind me. You know, people argue with emotion and people don't listen. People listen to respond, don't listen to understand or hear your point where you're coming from. Because it's not like when I did the clip, I made sure specifically I put the first part of what you said in there. And the end part, wait, you got the stats in there. So you got the full context of it. And for people just be like, man, ain't no way you put them in both. It's not even close, which it was still a close race when you look at the thing. But like I said, I still appreciate people watching. I want y'all to watch, react, do everything to the clips, good or bad. I don't care. As long as y'all commenting and watching, I don't care. But just know, that's what we're going to be about. We're going to give you real takes. No matter if my opinion going to be my opinion, but I'm going to give you facts behind it, and I ain't going to change that way. Like, we going to be, me and Shy never gave y'all an episode where we just up here arguing just to argue. It's never that. We going to come with facts, points, and give y'all a good listen. That's the main thing I want. I want to be able where if you don't watch the show today, you could watch tomorrow, still a good listen. That's all I care about.
And I'll say this last thing really quick, SP. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for a little while now. Mm-hmm. I have a principal rule, and my principal rule is I don't spew my opinion as fact. Mm-hmm. However, I try to base my opinions on facts, data, stats, research, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So of that nature. So it's never me just coming off the top of the dome. It's no, there's a reason why I got to specific conclusions. And again, two things can be right. It doesn't have to be, oh, one person is great, so that other person isn't great. No, two things, people can be great. That's the nature of it.
Nature of the beast.
You know, sports have been around for years. Two things can be great. Two people can be great. Two teams can be great. Two coaches can be great. And there's nothing wrong with that. Huh? There's nothing wrong with that.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
right? So we don't have to step on, I don't have to step on someone else to highlight someone else's greatness. And highlighting someone else's greatness doesn't mean I'm particularly stepping on something else that's great.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree with you.
And again, that's just not how we roll. So again, we're 120 plus episodes in. Our credibility started from the first time we did this, and I think continues to now. And we're going to continue that. We will never be the show that does the shock value. We will never be the show that does the, oh, we're just going to say something so it can go viral. That's not who we are. If something we do goes viral, cool. But we're not intentionally trying to do things to do that. That's not how we get down. When you listen to us, we like to believe we're giving you some real talk.
Good content. That's all. That's all we're trying to do. Hope y'all entertained. Make sure y'all keep watching. Make sure you guys like, make sure you guys share and subscribe. Enjoy the podcast. And keep watching the clips. Keep watching the shorts. I pretty appreciate y'all. But in part of the short, now we gotta get to back to sports, y'all. But shout out to y'all too. In part of the clip, we was talking about Jenty and Travis Hunter. That night, later that night, Travis Hunter did win the Heisman Trophy. It was a very close race, by the way. He won by a couple votes. So I got a two-part question, right? What pushed the needle that you believe to get Travis to win it? And also, what stopped Jenty from getting it? Because I've been hearing a lot of things with Jenty. It was because he was a running back.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
He's at Boise State. So what do you think what pushed the needle for Travis? And then what do you think why Jenty didn't get it?
SB, for me, I don't think anything in particular pushed the needle. You saw how close the race was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all in the eye of the beholder. And in this case, the eye of the voter. There are some voters who believe that Travis Hunter should have won the Heisman. And that's why you do first, second, third place votes. Mm-hmm. And again, when you look at the total score is ultimately what determines who determines the vote. The total score was very, very close. There were some who saw the value of what Jenty did and said, hey, he should be the Heisman winner. There were other people who got first place votes as well. So I don't think it was one thing in particular that did it. I just think it came down to voters having to decide what they or who they believe should be the first, second, and third place winner. I heard Dan Patrick, longtime sportscasters on SportsCenter, ESPN for years, now host of Dan Patrick Show, radio show.
Mm-hmm.
He said he voted for Jenty.
Yep.
And he gave his rationale for why he voted for Jenty. One of the reasons why he said he voted for Jenty was that Travis Hunter, for as great as he is, plays with a guy who's likely going to be the first quarterback taken in the draft.
Yeah.
Can't say the same thing about Jenty. So I think there were some different, you know, logical rationales for why people voted where they voted. I have to believe that, again, Travis Hunter won. As I said the other night, and I'll stand on today, if Jenty had won, I would have believed he deserved to win. I believe Travis Hunter deserved to win as well. It was just one of those years where there wasn't a clear cut. And I say clear cut because look at how close the final scoring was. Absolute Heisman winner.
Yes.
Eye to beholder. Eye the voter, and that's what it came down to.
And I'm looking at the vote chart right now. It was very close because even like you looking down with because they got more than besides the four finalists. Even like Shador Sanders got a first place vote.
Yes,
Cam Ward had six first place votes. So there's a lot of people who voted differently, like everywhere. Travis Hunter had 520 first place vote points. 261 second place vote points, 53 third place points on the vote. And then Ginty was at 309 for the first, 517 for the second, 56 for the third. And Travis total points of 2,231. Ginty doubles with 2,017. Like, look, it's very close. So a couple more vote points could have made a difference in that instantly. But for me, I think what pushed the needle for Travis is the two-way thing. I think it was a two-way thing. Him being actually like elite on both sides, where it's like he was the go-to receiver and he was the go-to play, like lockdown play, and he had plays where he won games on both sides of the ball. I think for Ginty, what I could have said didn't hold him back, because we can talk about that like another day with the running back. I still don't think people value how true a good running back is. And it's not just college. I think it's NFL, as we can see. But now we starting like Ginty, the Henrys, the Saquon Barkers are actually showing people like it's very much a high value to have a good running back. And because you see that Boise State is literally undefeated. All, I want to just not say it's like all because of Ginty, but we can literally look at it and be like 90% of the work and why they as good as they is and why they still, I believe they still undefeated. Is because of Ginty, and they won a conference.
Yeah. They lost the one game to Oregon.
Oregon State lost to Oregon by three.
Yeah, and again,
He went off two that game.
Yeah, and so, you know, and again, when I look at Travis Hunter, and this again, when I say this, it's not to slight Travis Hunter, but that Colorado wide receiver room is incredibly talented. Jimmy Horn, the young man they got from Colorado State, they got some really good receivers over there, y'all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so again, I think there was some when the Heisman voters were factoring in some of those things. And again, he plays with
Shador,
who's again going to be one of the first two quarterbacks taken in this upcoming draft. So, I think there were some voters who looked at that and said, yeah, Ginty's value, you know, may be greater on that side of the football. You know, so again, it's never too slight. Again, I want people to understand. Every year at the Oscars, there are five actors nominated for Best Actor. Only one wins. It doesn't mean what the other four actors did in their roles and in their movies was without merit. This is no different. Travis Hunter's season was great. Ashton Dinsey's season was great. It doesn't mean that because Travis Hunter won, the Ashton Dinsey season was without merit. And the Ginty had won vice versa. So, you know, it was a close race.
Very close.
To Travis Hunter, well-deserved, well-earned, and, you know, look forward to seeing what he does next.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. I hope, with Travis, I can say for sure, but he probably going to make sure he go to a good situation, because that's the most important thing. These players go to a good situation. It's pretty much already locked and loaded that Shador going to the Raiders, and they going to make that day. Prime going to do whatever he do to make that happen. With Ginty, I just hope he goes somewhere, too, where they actually, like, value the running back. I know he was pushing for maybe the Chicago Bears. I think he'd do great Chicago Bears. I think he'd do great in the good Chargers. That's all I'm saying. So I hope he goes somewhere they actually value the running back. But, you know, the Heisman Trophy is definitely the one of the best awards to get. I know Ginty got some other awards that he won. Travis got a lot, too. Shador, all those kids. So I just hope for the next level they just go to the right situation. But it was still – but at the end of the day, this, I know a lot of people was complaining, saying it was a robbery. Nobody got robbed. Also, people was complaining that now all of a sudden when Travis won, now it's the week Heisman race. This is probably literally one of the best Heisman race we see in a long time, where we had two stud – all-star athletes going at it, putting up crazy numbers, doing things we've never seen before at either position on the field. Just because the guy that you wanted to win didn't win, now it's a week has race. Like, no, don't do that, guys. We can't do that. But also, we got to talk about another award, though, Sean. The MVP race is heating up in the NFL. Now, obviously, your prediction for Josh Allen is holding strong. But now it's starting to look like it's a 2-3-man race. Maybe you want to add Saquon Barkley in or not. But people are asking the question, did Josh Allen secure his MVP after the performance he had against the Detroit Lions? He went 22-34, 362 yards. He had two passing touchdowns and two rushing touchdowns. obviously, we still got Lamar Jackson looming up behind him. So right now, before I get to the Lamar Jackson side, do you think that last game of Josh Allen secured the MVP, or is it still up in the air right
now? I think it's still very much up in the air. There's 3 weeks left in the season. A lot can happen over these last 3 weeks. I remember last year there was some talk about one of the 49ers potentially winning the MVP, and they played on Monday Night Football against the Ravens. And I'm not going to say that one game changed the narrative, but it definitely shut it down.
Take it, Gary.
You know, so there's still a lot of time left in the season. I think when you look at Buffalo's remaining schedule, it's not the toughest schedule, remaining schedule, obviously. So there's some general thought that Josh Allen is, you know, very much in the driver's seat. You know, if they're able to move up in seeding, potentially, you know, could he, you know, could that help him as well? He's having a magnificent season. I would still say for me, he would be the betting favorite.
Yes.
But there's still 3 weeks left in the season. Lamar is statistically having the best passing season of his career. He has the fourth, and I'll just point this out, SB. Currently, he has the fourth highest rating, passer rating for a season in NFL history.
He's about the guy that they said that when he got drafted, he should have switched to running back, right? That guy, right?
Yes, that guy. That guy.
The guy that they was questioning, can he actually throw the ball? He have the best pass the season? Passing. Lamar Jackson. Baltimore. Number 8. Oh yeah. Somebody gotta redo their analytics on that one. They was wrong.
Yeah.
But the crazy part about it, Sean. He only threw 3 interceptions. And I recall, I think 2 of them weren't really his fault, because one of them gets snatched, right, from somebody, and the other one got, like, deflected. It wasn't a bad pass. I'm trying to think about, because I would think he had no really bad interceptions that I can recall off the top of the head. Maybe the one in the Steelers, I'll remember that game. I don't think I watched the Steelers game. I don't remember that one. But y'all, look at Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen seasons. Their stats is like ridiculous, especially Lamar Jackson when it comes to passing.
Yeah, and I think too, and again, I don't want to pick straws here. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen had probably 2 games this year where he didn't look good at all. Mm-hmm. That Houston game,
was
not good. And that Baltimore game when they got smacked on Sunday Night Football was not good. So, our voters going to factor that in, right? Because it really comes down to what the voters say. Voters being obviously the media who have voting, MVP voting privileges. You know, I don't know. And again, still 3 weeks left in the season. What does Saquon do, you know, the remainder of the season? Does Saquon go over 2,000 yards? Does he challenge for the single season rushing yards record? How do they factor that in? Are the Eagles able to sneak? And I don't say sneak because they're right there in the conversation. Are they able to move up and get that number one seed in the NFC? And how big a factor is Saquon and then how they value that? So I don't think anything's a given at this point, SB. I think it's going to come down to these last 3 weeks of the regular season and where a lot of these guys end up, not just statistically, but also where their teams end up in the standings. In terms of playoff seeding and how the voters factor that in as a part of their evaluation?
For me right now, I think the race is still up in the air. Still a very close race. I think it's a three-man race. It's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Saquon. I think right now Josh Allen is on the tear. And I think Josh Allen is the lead man today. So if the votes ended today, Josh Allen would be getting that trophy. It would be a close race, just like the Jetty and Travis Hunter. But I think Josh Allen would get it today. And if you look at like the last couple games he have been putting together, the 49ers, the Rams, and the Lions game, he hasn't thrown an interception in like the last 3 games, and he has been rushing well too. So he got the running touchdowns and the rushing yards, and he got the passing yards. So yes, if today ended, yeah. Now, I think they're gonna use their schedule against Josh Allen? Probably not. Lamar Jackson will probably have to finish strong. Obviously, that Giants game was a statement game. If you watch that Giants game, it was literally a statement game because I ain't gonna lie. They literally came out that game and was like, we finna destroy the Giants. And we ain't running the ball. Lamar Jackson arm is going to destroy the Giants. They literally made a statement again. That man looked like. What's your guy that you like from the Dolphins? The Marino, man. That man was carving the boys up. I think the race still up in the air. But if it was to end today, for sure, Josh Allen will probably get the award.
I will say this too, SB. You know, we got some really key games coming up this week. Obviously, we'll do that on our next podcast on Friday. We're picking those games, but this Pittsburgh Baltimore game is definitely a key matchup, not just because of also for the standings and also the seeding, but also for Lamar's MVP case, because one of the things, you know, with Lamar is that the Ravens have struggled against the Steelers. So can he shut that narrative down with a great game on this coming Saturday? You know, I think that will help really kind of put some more mustard on that MVP case. So we'll see what happens, but it is not over. I know there's a lot of hyperbole out there that it's over and there are 3 weeks left in the season and this is still very much a race.
All right, one last question before we go to the next segment. Do you think if Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen both finish super strong and both have an even case, do you think Josh Allen to get the ledge over Lamar because Lamar Jackson voted fatigue? Honestly, because we have seen voter fatigue happen with MVP races.
Yeah, sure. I think that you can never discount that, SB. Of course, we know there are certain guys.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Guys, the guy on the wall behind you, another guy who's currently, you know, still playing in the league, another guy who's an all-time great in the captain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Those guys could easily have, you know, three or four more MVP trophies in their trophy cases. Mm-hmm. I don't ever want to discount voter fatigue on any level. So that said, sometimes the MVP, if there's a tie, sometimes it'll go to the guy who's never won one versus the guy who's won two. So, yeah, I don't ever want to discount that. I'm not going to pick out specific cases. I'm just saying that we know it does happen.
It happens, yeah. The guy they told to be running back won three MVPs in your league. I still laugh at that every time when they just talk about Lamar on draft day. A lot of people get a lot of stuff wrong. You never know. A lot of people wrong about Patrick Mahomes, too. Remember when Patrick Mahomes got drafted. Yeah. But also, Sean, you know, we do sometimes on the show, we do the injury bug of the week. This one sucks for the Detroit Lions. During that game, we'll talk about Josh Allen. David Montgomery, the Knuckles to the Sonic and Knuckles combination in that backfield, had suffered a season ending MCL injury to the loss to the Bills. How big of a hit is this? They already took a lot of injuries so far, but how big of a hit is this to lose Dave Montgomery, and they lost defensive tackle McNeil too, by the way. But how big of a hit is this for the Lions?
I mean, it's a big hit for their offense, but also when you think about the Lions' ability to run the football, it's a hit for their defense because, again, you're taking a guy who really helps you control time of possession now off the field. Mm-hmm. You know, Jahmyr Gibbs, we know Jahmyr Gibbs is ready for the challenge, certainly. But I think it's got to be a collective. Obviously, not going to just run Jahmyr Gibbs into the ground. But Dave Montgomery is a big loss for the Lions. They know it. But the unfortunate thing is they're not going to make excuses, you know, or the fortunate thing is they're not going to make excuses. They're going to continue to go out and work. And nobody's going to, you know, cancel the schedule or postpone games because they keep getting hit by the injury bug. It's just, you know, it's an unfortunate thing, but they still got to go play. And and they will.
Yeah, for me, this definitely is a big, big, big loss. Because even with that last game, when Montgomery went out, I don't like to see Jared Goff throw the ball 59 times. I don't think that's a recipe for success for the Lions, even though they, like, it was a close game. They still put up 42 points, but that's not a recipe for success for the Lions. And losing David Montgomery changed their team. Because the time, like you brought, the time possession that they control is a different dynamic for the Lions. They get a defensive rest. And they're also, they're going to put up a lot of points. And then they're not going to give you enough time to score to catch up. So, yeah, I think they're going to, well, like you said, when they come to football, next man up, they're going to have to find somebody to replace or at least give you 50% of what David Montgomery was going to give you. And, you know, Gibbs is a splash type running back, fast, going to make plays. And David Montgomery was a smash mouth, green iron type running back that you need to have and for this combination to work. So I will hopefully that they get somebody to replace it, you know. But yeah, this is a big loss to the Lions. Sean, but the next point is obviously a lot of us was looking at the Lions. I'm sorry about this, Detroit fan. Y'all finally actually good. And everybody on the team is getting hurt. You got Hutchinson. You got a couple linebackers. McNeil. David Montgomery now on offense. A majority of a lot of people is getting hurt on defense. Did injuries destroy the Lions' Super Bowl chances?
I think destroy is a very strong word. Makes it harder. But part of this game, part of adjust, figure it out. Like, yes, no, it stinks. It sucks. But you got to figure it out, and you got to find a way to keep going. Fortunately for the Lions, I think their big thing is, you know, trying to end the season holding on to that number one seed. So you have the bye week, wild card weekend, super wild card weekend. But this is just a part of the business. Injuries happen. You have to figure out a way to manage and to keep going when these things happen. Now, again, it seems exorbitant, and they are. I saw the list last night. They got a lot of guys. They started out with them this season that are either lost for the season or have been, you know, lost and could come back at a later time. It is the unfortunate part of football. It ain't just being good. You got to have some luck. And again, some of the luck is, you know, being healthy. We see Patrick Mahomes, you know, has a high ankle sprain. You know, it's, you know, the Chiefs have to figure it out.
Yeah, figure it out.
That's what you do. And please, please don't tell Eagles fans that, somebody's hurt, so you can't win the Super Bowl. Because they won a Super Bowl with their
backup. And they start quarterback with having an MVP season, by the way, too. People forget about that.
And people forget about that. You know, figure it out.
And the Eagles are coming, by the way, too. So the Eagles are right there trying to clinch that the number one seed. They both are 12-2 right now. So the Eagles coming. So the Lions gonna have to finish the season strong. They're gonna have to.
Yes.
By the way. But to answer the question, I think it's tough. And I must, only reason I say I think it did, because they gotta go through the Eagles. And I do think you do need the Lions, if anybody, need that week. And they need a home field advantage. Right now, with all the injuries that you have. Because, not going to lie, that backup probably ain't going to play the same on the road. But he at home, you probably get a spark, get a good game out of that backup that's here for the injury replacement. But the Eagles are too good. They, you know, you still got the Vikings that could be there. They're dangerous. With all the injuries that they have, I don't know if I can 100% trust them to get the job done. Because now the Eagles got to get it done. This is the year for the Eagles. They got to get it done. They starting to get in that 49er territory with me. Like, you getting to a point where you got at least 1 or 2, 3 more years to try to get it done. You've paid everybody. Once you start paying everybody, you're going to start losing them vital pieces. So you got to get it done here and now. And the Lions, I think they're good. Ain't nobody really overpaid yet. So I think the Lions windows are just open. I still see the Lions competing for at least a couple more years. But I think so far with these injuries, though, it's too many people in that defense hurt. I think I don't want to say because they're still a dangerous team. But it's looking like the injuries killing their chances. Like you said, destroy was a strong word, but the injuries definitely killed.
Yeah, of course.
Now, I think Deion Sanders. I'm not gonna say the other guy because you told me that because he be. That's a different story for another day. Shout out Tandy, by the way. But I think Deion started a trend with something. Michael Vick is reportedly talking to Norfolk State and Sacramento State about their head coaching job openings. I think Pram started something, man. And it's not like when I say Pram started something, I'm not saying from players now getting up on the coach and do this. No, players been doing it. I think Pram changed the narrative with people sitting in that front office that didn't believe that a former player could come change a whole program around, or they didn't understand the power of what a true player, a true strong-minded player who's good and on his job, and the potential popularity and the potential aura that he could bring to a team where you can get players to your program, you can change the program around, you get elite coaching, you get elite coaching staff, you get the respect of the players, so you never worry about them losing the locker room. I think Deion changed the narrative from the people up top and looked like, oh, okay, nah. I get you to coach from here. You did it. You can, but you can't do what this player can do. He can coach just as good as you, and I can get players to come to my program, and he's going to bring more money to the program because who he is as a former player. Oh, yeah. Imagine people at that school, they wearing the Vic cleats, the old school Vic cleats on it. That'd be crazy. But what do you feel about this story? Michael Vick looked like he's going to get into coaching college.
Not surprising. I know he's done some offensive consulting, and I believe he was an offensive coordinator, I think, in the AFL, mm-hmm. or one of the spring football leagues. So not surprising. Mm-hmm. I think a couple of things. One, obviously, when you walk in a room or into and you're talking to young kids or parents or whatever, and you're Michael Vick, your story is well known, both on and off the field. And I think the value of having someone like that as a head coach is kids will understand that, yeah, this is Michael Vick. He was a great superstar, but he also had his own, troubles and things, and he bounced back, and mm-hmm. he will help me not just with football but with life. Mm-hmm. And if you're Norfolk State, Sacramento State, any other of these schools, you could do a lot worse than Michael Vick. He knows football, but I think he understands how to connect with these kids. Now, I know Norfolk State would seem to be probably the choice, given he's from Tidewater areas, mm-hmm. And from Newport News, so it would seem to make a lot of sense. But again, I think any school would be more than happy to have Michael Vick as their head coach and representing their program. Yeah. He's going to bring in eyes. He's going to bring visibility, like you said, again, to Deion, wherever he goes. I hope this happens for Michael Vick. This is really what he wants. I'd hate that he wouldn't be an NFL analyst anymore, because he's an NFL analyst for Fox, and he's really good at it.
He's good. Yeah, I'm saying he's good.
But, if this is you know, a calling on his life, and this is what he desires to do to help the next generation, I'm all for it. And again, I hope it happens for him.
Yeah, I hope it happens for Michael Vick too. People want to stay at how cold Mike Vick was. And then if I'm like a quarterback too, that's like a mobile dual threat quarterback, one of the best person I would probably want to get coached by is Michael Vick too, by the way. That'd be wicked work. I'm sorry. But if you get Vick, can you imagine that one of these kids coming up with, like, well, a lot of kids nowadays are dual threat quarterbacks now. You can't be the standstill guy no more. Even we got even the Manning running 25 miles an hour now. It's getting crazy. But yeah, no, I definitely got to take that chance. Sean, we got to talk about boxing real quick. You know, we dabble here and there when they come to combat sports, if it's a good enough story. But we got to talk about boxing. Conor McGregor delays his UFC return. He don't want to. First of all, Conor McGregor get done, but he made too much money now. He don't want to get back in that ring and get all beat up again. He don't want to do all that. Conor McGregor delays his UFC return and agrees to box Logan Paul in an exhibition match. I don't even care about the match, Sean. My true, honest question is, has boxing died? Like, it's getting to a point where this is a bigger headline than people who are actually boxers, bro. So I'm going to let you go first and I'll give you my point. But has boxing died?
I think stories like this, SB, are telling us the true state of boxing. And I'm going to put a pin in it right there, because if I go further, it's going to get ugly. But this is bad.
And this will be the headline fight that'll sell more. I'm 100% serious. Conor McGregor versus Logan Paul is the clear example that boxing is dead. And here's why boxing is dead. One, nobody wants to fight anybody. We don't have no big fights. And everybody's scared to lose. Newsflash, boxers. You don't have to be undefeated to be great. You don't. Everybody got this mindset that they're trying to be Floyd Mayweather and go 40-50-0, but then don't realize that Floyd Mayweather beat every champion in his division. So he fought the best guys every time, but y'all not doing that. Two, we don't get the fights when they're supposed to happen. We had Deontay Wilder, Anthony Joshua, the two top heavyweights, in boxing at a point in time. They both ducked each other. Whatever you want to say, at the end of the fight didn't happen, so y'all ducked each other. I'm not saying none of y'all scared each other. I don't want to smoke either one of y'all, but like I said, big time. But y'all ducked each other. You know what happened? Y'all ducked each other. Both of y'all got to some other fights that y'all wasn't supposed to get into, and y'all both lost. And that ruined the whole aura of the fight. Now we even got Tank Davis ready to retire. He didn't even get in the ring with Boots, Haney, Shakur, nothing. We don't get no fights at all. Not entertaining anymore. It's not. That's the reason why boxing is dead. It's pretty much plain and simple as that. Everybody's ducking everybody. And everybody think they the A-side of everything and always want to get over on the deal. Instead of just doing the main thing, which both of y'all can make way more money in, is just making the fight happen. But no, you know what we going to get? We can't get Devontae Davis versus Shakur or Haney. You know why Haney trying to sue that? We getting Conor McGregor, a UFC fighter, versus a YouTuber. And it's getting way bigger headlines than that. And y'all getting mad that saying exhibitions ruining boxing when all y'all boxers don't box each other. We had an old Mike Tyson versus Logan Paul brother, Jake Paul, and it had more headlines than any other boxing match. And you know why? Because y'all don't fight. Y'all don't box. Boxers don't box the box they supposed to be watching because y'all too worried about y'all record, and too worried about being on the A side, and don't worry about it. Y'all ain't gonna make no money at all because boxing's just gonna die and people not gonna come. It's over. It's gonna be over. I'm sorry. I got UFC staying early because Dana makes sure any fight that's supposed to happen, he gonna make it happen. If y'all want the money, y'all want the attention, you guys will have to fight. I'm sorry. You got to fight the people that you're supposed to fight. Stop thinking y'all Floyd Mayweather. Y'all don't need to be undefeated to be great. Muhammad Ali, one of the greatest boxers of all time. got an L on his record. Mike Tyson, one of the greatest boxers of all time, got an L on his record. Roy Jones Jr., one of the greatest boxers of all time, got an L on his record. Does anything change the legacy of that? No, it does not. Y'all, all y'all now Floyd Mayweather. Get over it. Y'all not. Y'all don't have to be Floyd to be great. Shout on to the next story. Shout out to Miss Asia Wilson. I won't even say arguably, clearly the best player in the WBA right now. Las Vegas Aces star Asia Wilson signed a 6-year contract extension with Nike. It's one of the most lucrative shoe deals ever in women basketball history. I'm trying to see if they have the exact number of the contract. No, they don't have the exact money yet. But what do you think about this? Asia Wilson getting a lucrative 6-year extension.
So, I mean, it's certainly is shout out to her. She's the best player in the world. Mm-hmm. Has been for a while.
She just get on the court and it's just like, bam, it just hit you.
Yeah, I mean, best in the world. And, again, has been that way for a while.
Sean, that went up. You ain't even peeping. That went over your head.
Yeah, I saw it. No, I saw it. I heard it. Yeah, no, I heard it. No, listen, I'm staying out of that business till I get an invite to the wedding. I'm staying out that. Anyway, she's got her signature shoe coming out this spring, the A1. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it seems to be right in time with obviously that. There's not enough accolades you can heap upon Asia Wilson. We know what she is. We know how great she is. This is well earned. Mm-hmm. And I put emphasis on earned because she earned this.
Yes.
You got it out the mud. She got it out the mud.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't given. She earned it. And I hope that her shoe does very well, that ballers all over wear them mm-hmm. because, you know, she represents what it's about, you know, two-way dominance.
She a dog. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, it's – yeah. So, oh. Yeah, so.
Yeah, no, shout out, by the way. Yeah. I can't wait to see her signature shoe. I'm shocked that she didn't have one. I'm sorry, you got the best player in the league and you don't have a shoe for her. And I could understand the pause because – the signature shoe, but I still feel like she should have one. The reason I say I understand the pause is because she is technically like a big man. She's big. Big shoes really don't sell. But if what's her name got a shoe and it did good, I instantly got to get a shoe. The girl in New York.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? You got to take the chance. At the end of the day, you got too many stars in the league. Once they got a star name on it, You got to take that chance to give her a signature shoe. She's the best player in the league. That's like saying, like, hey, imagine like LeBron James don't have a signature shoe and he just at the top of the league. That'd be crazy. You look at me like, why don't this person have a shoe? So Nike, y'all got to start being back on it. But I can't wait to see how her shoe look. I'm glad that she's getting the recognition by Nike. Better late than never. And you know, I hope the woman's sport keeps growing in the way it is. I don't know. I think Angel Reese and Reebok, I think they need to help get up on that, get her a shoe. I don't know where Caitlin is at. I think Caitlin's
She's on Nike.
Yeah, they better go ahead and get her shoe ready. They should have her shoe the first day she got drafted. They should. Nike, I don't know what y'all lack. You know, who's in the department of signature shoes? You supposed to be on it. Like, I wasn't, like, old enough to get to, like, see it primarily. But in the 90s, if you was a star, you said everybody had the shoe. Charles Barkley, Dennis Rodman, Gary Payton.
Scottie Pippen.
You got to get on it once they got the start, especially in this era. Come on, man. I ain't going to lie though, Sean, too. They need to go back to whoever was designing the shoes like in the 90s that time. Because people try to get a little too techy, but I understand the science have got better, so they're trying to make it more basketball protected so you can wear. But I'm sorry, whoever was in like that era when like everybody first seen the shoe bag in the night, oh, they was in their bag when they came to designs. Everybody first seen the shoe was cold.
It was like that was Tinker Hatfield for Nike. He was Tinker Hatfield designed a lot of those shoes early
in
on.
He was in his bag designing shoes. I'm sorry, those shoes was cold. Yeah. Everybody first seen the shoe was cold. It was like debates, like who had the Kobe's first signature shoe, because it was some shoes you could wear back then. I'm sorry. It was some shoes you could wear back then.
I didn't have any of them, but yeah, you can wear them.
Yeah, I think I had Jordan. You know, I'm Chicago, so you got to keep the Jordans. I got to look up 90s first signature NBA player shoe. Now I got to look this up, because it was like a list of it. They don't got the shoe. They just got the players.
Yeah.
Oh, they all got the list. Hey, our first pair of shoes was cold too. Hey, I was in this bag. They don't got the pictures. Okay, well, man. Wait a minute. Cheryl Swoops had her own shoe?
Yes, the Air Swoops. Yeah. Air Swoops. She was the first female hooper with her own signature shoe.
Shout out Cheryl Swoops, by the way. I did not know that. Yeah.
Listen, she was SB, she was called the female Michael Jordan. She was like that.
Yeah, no, I knew she was like that.
So I'm just saying.
See, Nike, perfect example. Like, I instantly, that was smart back then. See, the 90s knew you a star, give you a shoe. But we got to go to NBA though, Sean. Tonight, we got the NBA Finals. Cup Finals. We got the Bucks versus the Thunder. What's your preview for this, and who do you got winning? It was a little shaky for the Bucks early in the season. I don't know. They just kind of found a little spark right now, and maybe because Darvin Ham just found a way not to lose in the turn the cup, even though he's the assistant. But yeah, the Bucks have been on a little tear right now, and OKC Thunder has been one of the best young teams in the league. And the Thunder is looking more serious and scarier the more and more they get better, and more they get more experience. They had a real chance to contend for an NBA championship. But what's your preview for the Bucks versus the Thunder, and who you got?
Should be an interesting matchup, obviously. You talk about really kind of contrasting teams, Bucks being a little older, more veteran-laden team, Thunder being a little younger, the younger team, obviously led by MVP candidate SGA.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think it's going to be a really, really exciting game, competitive game. But if I had to pick a winner, I would say I think OKC will win this cup final. And I hope it really does. And again, the fact that we have two small market teams in the cup final, I think is great for the NBA. It brings more visibility to those smaller markets, certainly. And for those who haven't really watched the Thunder play, they're a fun team to watch.
Yeah, I like the Thunder. I like watching them.
They are an absolute fun team to watch. And, you know, Sam Presti, I think, is the best GM in the NBA. And he's put together a group, and with Mark Dagnall as the head coach as well. And they're doing this without Chet. And when they get Chet back,
it's going to be ugly.
They're going to be very
They contender. I can see the Thunder winning the championship.
They are absolutely a contender. Absolutely a contender. Yeah. So yeah, but I would pick the Thunder to win tonight.
For me, it's gonna be a good game. And I like, the only thing I do like about the cup style is it's like one game only, so you gotta push everything on the table right here.
Yes.
I gotta go OKC too. I can't deny it. This team is wicked. They can guard multiple players. They got people who can guard from the guard to the big. They got star power with SGA. They play up and down fast. You're going to have to come to play because OKC, I'm sorry. And now we got the Dame problem. We got Caruso. You got Giannis problem. We got multiple bigs to throw at Giannis. Who really in Milwaukee can stop an SGA right now without a Chet? Imagine if Chet was playing. Giannis will have to work on that end. So I think it's going to be a good game. The Bucks is definitely hot right now, but I just got to go with the young guns, man. I think they're going to be ready. They're going to be ready to play. Yeah, I can't go against. Maybe in my heart, maybe I'm just because I like the Thunder so much and I see how good this young team is. That's why I'm picking the Thunder. I just can't see the Bucks getting it done. But we will see how it goes. Let us know what you guys think or who you got. But it is a one-game thing, so that's why it's like kind of hard because somebody can have an off night and it's over with.
Yeah, of course. My belief, SB, is just I think the Thunder can survive an off night from one of their stars, and I'm talking Shea, within this moment, versus Dame and Giannis really have to go on top of their games for the Bucks to really be to win. So, you know, I just look at that Thunder team. Jalen Williams is, you know, J Dub is, you know, Scottie Pippen light, you know, and but he's one of those guys, he can go off at any moment as well. And so, you know, so I just think the collective for the Thunder is why I picked them to win. Yeah, but it should be a good game.
Because the Thunder, they play as like a unit, like you said, and they got multiple bodies to throw at Giannis and Dame to slow them down. Because Giannis and Dame has to hoop. I 100% agree. Giannis and Dame don't have a good game, you might as well call it one.
Yeah.
Sean, we gotta go to the recap of the picks of the
SB and Sean NFL picks of the week.
So recap of the picks of the week. What is the record again right now, Sean? What is the record between me and you?
The record is 7-6-1. I am up 7-6-1.
We trying to restore balance in order. We trying to restore the balance.
Yes, but this week 15, 3 weeks left in the season after this week. But first game was Kansas City at Cleveland. We both took Kansas City. Kansas City did win. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati at Tennessee. We both took Cincinnati. Shout out to True the King, who was on with us on Friday. True took Tennessee. Don't know why. Cincinnati did win. Mm-hmm. Washington at New Orleans. You and True both took Washington. I, of course, never picked against the Saints. And
it was the Saints playing hard, too, though, by the way. I'll give you that.
It was a crazy ending to the game. Not going to get into that right now. Yeah, we're on with it. We moved on to Green Bay.
Yeah.
Baltimore at the New York Giants. We know we all took Baltimore. That was an easy choice.
It was spanking, by the way.
Yeah. Dallas at Carolina. We all took Carolina. Dallas did win that game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying Dallas is a contender, but I would not want to play Dallas right about now. They're going to spoil some people's playoff aspirations late in this season. New York Jets at the Jacksonville Jaguars. We all took the Jets. The Jets did win. Throwback game for Devontae Adams.
Second half. First half for an
end.
Second half.
Miami at Houston. True took Miami. You and I took Houston. Houston did dominate that game.
Mm-hmm.
Indianapolis at Denver. You and True took Denver. I took the Colts. The Colts sold.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I don't want to talk about it.
Also, I would say about Denver, I wouldn't want to play Denver right now either, too. I wouldn't want to play Denver in that first round. I would not want to play Denver. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I would not want to play Denver right now.
Buffalo at Detroit. We all took Detroit. Buffalo was able to steal that one.
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh at Philadelphia. You and True took Pittsburgh. I took Philly. Philly did win the game.
Mm-hmm.
New England at Arizona. True. Patriots fan, of course, took the Patriots. We both took Arizona. Arizona did win the game.
Yes, sir.
Tampa Bay at the Chargers. True took Tampa Bay. You and I both took the Chargers. We know how that game.
We ain't got to talk about it. We ain't got to talk about it at all. You go ahead.
Green Bay at Seattle. We all took Green Bay. Green Bay did win the game.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago at Minnesota. Monday Night Football. We all took Minnesota. We also know Minnesota won that game. Atlanta at Las Vegas. True took Las Vegas. You and I both took Atlanta. Atlanta pulled out that game. So for week 15, SB does win week 15. And we are now 7-7-1 going into the last 3 weeks of the season. So it's going to be interesting. These last 3 weeks of the season are going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Wait, the only one you got was the Eagles game, right? Did you count that one? The Eagles,
yes.
Yeah, we back to 7-6-1. We back. Tied, but we gonna try to win this year. This is a close year, actually, Sean. This is a very close year. I'm mad at myself because I started off hot. Got to let you cocky. You got heating up, and next thing you know, I think it was like 5-1, and then you just got hot.
I was like, I gotta stop playing around.
Today is episode 27, I believe. 27. So, Sean, who you got for 27?
You see the Yankees behind you.
Yes, sir.
It's the G, Giancarlo Stanton.
Giancarlo Stanton. Shout out to Giancarlo Stanton. I like that. I'm looking at the list. I see the name. I like him as a person, but I can't. I mean, I like him as a player. I don't know him as a person. But I can never pick him. I would never pick him. He plays for the Red Sox, so I can't pick him. Can't do it. You know what I'm talking about? He played for the Red Sox.
Yes, no. We will not mention his name on here.
Shout out him though.
Yeah, no, not at all. A couple others, just Steve Atwater.
Shout out Steve Atwater.
Yeah, one of the hardest hitting safeties ever. Ken Houston as well. Number 27.
Because you said you took Giancarlo Stanton. I'm gonna shout out a good running back. Well, Eddie George. Did I take him? Yeah. I go Eddie George. It's a lot of good people. When I said that, I scrolled down. I seen Rudy Gobert. I was going to say it's a lot of good players. We're 27. Never mind. I'll take that back.
Well, I mean, Rudy Gobert is going to Hall of Fame, so you know. I mean, I guess.
He is. I think what the NBA should do, and we could go a deep dialogue about this another day. But I think we got a basketball Hall of Fame. It's only basketball. I think we should have a NBA only Hall of Fame. We can have an episode on that. Like if they did an NBA only Hall of Fame, who would be like the first ballot? We could probably pick like, what's the most you could put in the ballot? What, like eight?
Yeah, I think like eight.
Yeah. We should do that. We should do an episode on that. Like if they did an NBA only Hall of Fame, who would be the first eight players that go in? See, the first three is easy, probably. Jordan, LeBron, Kareem. Then how we going to go now? The next five are going to be tough. But maybe you automatically got to throw Bill.
Right.
Then after that, it gets shaky. Because now it's who you going to argue for the last four spots. If we do eight. Let's say we do eight.
Duncan.
Ooh.
Wilt.
Shaq. First one.
Magic and Bird.
Oh no, we might have to do that. We might have to do episodes. We might have to. Say, get your ballot ready. I'll get your ballot. We both make our case for people. We got the extras, but so we can affirmably say Jordan, LeBron, Kareem, Bill, instant lock, right?
Yeah, I would say there's a couple other instant locks, but yes.
Okay, we got to do it. We got to do episodes. We got to know that's it. All right. Thank you guys for watching. It's been another great episode of Real Takes on Facebook page with SB and Sean Webb. And make sure you keep liking, keep subscribing. And then make sure you keep liking the clips, comments. We like the comments like that. But we are out of here. Peace. Real Takes.